Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hour number two officially underway here on a Wednesday on the Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM channel 159. It's Joe, it's Donnie. We're talking college football. Yes, we are. Are there any games this week? Of course not. Are there any games for the next few months? No, there isn't. So what do? We try to tweak the game to try to fit it into a three-hour TV window. So Joe, I'm going to go over the three options that college football is looking at changing to try to save 5, 6, 7 minutes on those games to try to help out. Then we're going to go over what both of us think should actually be changed, which would make even more sense. So I'll ask you this. The first change that's up for discussion here in college football, running the clock after a first down is awarded. Now, granted, let's go back to like 2005. The NCAA actually wanted to run the clock on first down after punts and turnovers before the team even took a snap, which was ridiculous, widely panned, and certainly taken out of the game. This one is just more of the NFL rule. You get a first down, boys. Why are we stopping the clock? Your thoughts here on an old college football tradition of stopping the clock to get the chain set here on first down, and should that be changed?
Absolutely not. I don't understand what they're doing here. Absolutely nobody is complaining that college football games are too long. Nobody is. And it's absolutely absurd, because the minute you take a rule like this away, Donnie, you're basically saying, really, what, they're not amateurs anymore? The whole reason this rule is in here and not the NFL is because, oh, yeah, they're 18, 19, and 20-year-olds. They are not professionals. And yes, that ability to be able to stop the clock after a first down, it gives teams an opportunity to, you know what, Donnie? It gives teams a chance to come back, because the variance in college football is over the top. We all know this, which means that you want a team that's down 3 scores going into the fourth. You want to give them an opportunity to come back. It's better for the game. Nobody is complaining college football games last too long. You want more blowouts. You want the more eyeballs to be like, I can't watch this anymore. You let that clock continue to run like it's the NFL, and let me know how that works out for you, especially since, let's not forget, the practice schedule is not that of the NFL either. You implement a rule like this, everything has to change across the game. Coaching, players' ability to understand, getting to the line of scrimmage. Now you got to spike. There's so many things here that would go completely the other way if you now just let the clock run on first downs. I don't like it at all. It ain't broke. Don't fix it, as far as I'm concerned, Donnie.
Yeah, and also, it's one of those rules that's been in place for decades here, where everybody is used to it. It didn't come on the scene 2 years ago and be like, ooh, I don't know about this rule, Joe. We might need to take it out. You're right. Nobody is asking for that. Now, the next two coming up are interesting also. Eliminating back-to-back timeouts, which I agree with. That's the icing the kicker rule. Maybe you save it there. But also, no untimed downs. What that actually means is you get a flag at the end of the third quarter. They still play that as an untimed down in the third quarter, as opposed to going over to the fourth quarter. I don't mind those all that much. But if I'm asking you, Joe Ranieri, what would you actually change in college football to, I don't want to say speed the game up, but fit it into that three-hour window, which is what the networks actually want?
Yeah, they want it in the thing, and I would say, well, screw you, quite honestly, because I don't want any rules, Donnie. I really don't. I don't want any rules that blur the line between a pro and college. And that's, for some reason, that's what they are looking to do. I mean, what's next? Are we going to take college basketball games, make it four quarters now instead of two halves? Is that what we're going to do? Like, I don't want there to be a situation where we're treating these kids in this game as if they are a level above. They're not. And I do think the nuances of college football, I don't care that the game takes longer than the NFL. It doesn't really matter, because the ability of some of these middle-of-the-road teams to be able to continue to be competitive, Donnie, and that's really what we want in college football, right? We want competitive games. We want the little guy to be able to compete against the big guys, right? Well, you can't do that if you make the playing field as if this is the NFL. So I don't really see anything wrong with what they got going on from the fundamental rules of college football. If you're telling me this is all about money and what the networks want, yeah, well, then I know nothing that they come up with is going to be for the betterment of college football and the game itself.
As we welcome in the radio audience here, you're watching and listening live to the Early Line, SiriusXM Channel 159 on the Sports Grid Network. Hot takes all the way abound. And also, if the networks want to fit in this three-hour window, Joe Ranieri, how about this? How about two less commercial breaks per half? Wouldn't everybody love that? Mm-hmm. How about we don't need to run both bands out there at the half, and also 16 different boosters who donated $100 or more to the athletic department getting checks or holding those big checks up there? We can move the game in easy directions without actually changing anything on the field of any consequence here. It seems simple. Man, there's a lot of commercials. Hey, networks, how about a little less commercial time, Joe? Can we agree on that? Give me less commercials here,
exactly. Joe. Exactly. And don't give me the whole thing where, well, we're trying to speed the game up because it's for player safety. You just expanded the playoffs. You made more football. So don't talk to me about player safety, pretty please. Ridiculous.
Yeah, player safety at the cost of value and revenue. Stop it. They're never going to do that. Stop blaming it. Just take two extra commercials out. Everybody will be happy, including the people playing and watching these football games. The combine is going on right now. It's hot. Check in on some news and notes with us coming up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Oh, yeah, the NFL Combine is underway, and it's time to talk some NFL news and notes. Before we get into some of the individual details that we're going to go over, Joe, I need your thoughts here. Just your overall thought process on the Combine itself here in the NFL. Pros, cons, do you like it? Do you hate it? What do you got?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I mean, the Combine itself is really about teams sending representatives, GMs, and working deals than it really is anything else. The Combine is some handshakes, a wink, nod, let me play around, let me see who might be available, who's not, draft is coming up, who you thinking about going with, who do you like. It really is a feeling out more than it is, oh, let's watch these guys throw. Like, does it matter if Bryce Young throws it at Combine? Does it matter? Like, no. Nobody cares. There is absolutely nothing, despite what they try to sell you, there is nothing that's going to happen at this combine that is going to shock and awe these coaches and these scouts here based upon, well, I don't know, what, 3-4 years of college football plus high school? They know what they've got going on here. So maybe a handful of guys at some of the smaller schools might be able to impress. But quite honestly, if you impressed at the combine, you probably already impressed them on film during your college career anyway. I think the combine, to me, it's a big dog and pony show, right? I mean, let's run them out there and, oh, look at how big he is. Oh, look at him run with no pads on. Like, okay, great. That's wonderful. Throws the ball with no pass rush. Great. That's wonderful. Ultimately, I think this is all about the deals that are being cut on the side. There's not supposed to be tampering, though, right? You know, there's you can't talk, can't cut any deals here, Donnie. You can't talk about what you may or may not do. Yeah, this is talk about misinformation. This entire combine's about misdirecting for the upcoming NFL draft, because nothing ends up happening the way we think it's going to happen anyway during that.
It feels like spring break for the NFL front offices, right? You get on the private jet, you fly in there, they hand out the company credit card, you have a nice spicy shrimp cocktail at St. Elmo's Steakhouse, and then you go on with your way, and you come back home, and then you get yelled at by the owner. Oh, you spent $1,100 at the bar. Hey, look, I was just trying to blow off some steam. I was working a deal behind the scenes. Calm down, calm down. That's what it feels like the combine is. But news does actually come out of the combine, particularly with the Philadelphia Eagles. Offensive and defensive coordinators were settled yesterday. Yeah. Brian Johnson, the Eagles quarterback coach, they promote from within, which I do like. They go outside the building and get Sean Desai as their defensive coordinator. So some of those last dominoes to fall now. The Eagles, who lost both coordinators to head coaching jobs, now have their both coordinators ready to go for the 2023 season. Any thoughts on Johnson or Desai here for you, Joe?
Well, I think it's going to be, I mean, guys that, and I think that you promoted, right? So Johnson comes from with inside the organization, right? I think that's important here. Defensive guys, not so much, right? Because defensive guys, they like to bring their own philosophy and stuff, and it's easier. I think the offensive side was the right call, bringing the guy from within the organization. You've had Jalen Hurts now had his best season yet, right? This offense was by far and away the best that we have seen in a very, very long time. So anybody that has a relationship with your quarterback coming out of a season like this, much better to promote from within than to go out. So I think Johnson, who already has a relationship, obviously, with Jalen Hurts, they're on the same page. I think it's a brilliant move here by Sirianni. And as far as the DC goes, hey, you know, DCs I always grade on. Let's see in the game. Let's see what kind of plays you're calling when it's third and four, or, you know, fourth and two. What are you dialing up in the season? I think it may be about three or four games into the season, Donnie, we'll know if they made the right decision on the DC here.
Yeah, offensive coordinator, to me, always the bigger fill, no matter what NFL team you're looking at. Defensive coordinators, you can find a good one in a lot of places here. And also, good defensive coordinators, what? How many good players do you have on defense? That makes a good defensive coordinator. Bill Belichick didn't get great by having terrible players. Exactly. Do you have a pass rush? Do you have a couple cornerbacks? If not, I don't care who, if you're Vince Lombardi out there, you're not going to be able to get that done. Let's keep it moving to the Bengals. Say, no. Hands off on our guy T. Higgins, because around the league, the Sharks start to feed and go, let me get this straight. Joe Burrow's contract, Jamar Chase's contract, you can't afford T. Higgins. What do you say we take him off your hands? And the Bengals are going, not so fast here. We want to keep the triplets in town right here.
Yeah, they shot that down quick, didn't he? And listen, they're going to do everything in their power. And it's so funny, Donnie, this time of year, how much do we really believe what we're hearing, right? I mean, Tobin says what? The GM says, are you kidding me? Trading T. Higgins? That's not even remotely on my mind. Well, unless you get offered a boatload, and then all of a sudden, guess who's on the trading block? So, yes, in an ideal world, would they love the opportunity to keep this entire core together? Yes, but the reality is the chances of keeping Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, Joe Burrow, extending them all, yeah, not easier said than done. And listen, a lot of this most of the time, and nobody was better at it than Belichick, right? Showcase guys, put them in a position to succeed, and then quite honestly, let's see what we can get for them before we decide to extend them, especially at the wide receiver position.
Perfect way to segue into lies at the combine in this time of year. Yeah, we're going to talk about Tannehill and the Titans in a second. But if you remember, one calendar year ago around this time, as long as I'm the head coach, and I'm talking about Vrabel, we're going to have A.J. Brown on our football team. 24 hours later, he was a Philadelphia Eagle. Congratulations on the lies and the smokescreens that happen at this time of year. But how about this one? Rand Carthon comes over, the new general manager of the Tennessee Titans. He goes, yeah, man. Tannehill for 2023? Of course that's a great option for us, for the Titans. Joe, is that a great option for the Titans, or is he putting out a smokescreen saying, hey, we got some things in the works here. We just want to keep it quiet.
Well, I mean, listen, I don't know what their works are going to be. Are they bringing in, you know what? Maybe Mariota's on his way back. Maybe that's it. It's a reunion of sorts. I mean, listen, you've the GM by with the A.J. Brown, you know where his career ended up in Tennessee. They ended up firing him halfway through after Brown just lit him up there in that game. They're kind of stuck as a franchise, right? There's not a ton of options. And let me ask you this. Is there really a better option from the veteran free agent market than what you have already in Tannehill? You know, the devil you know is better than the devil you don't in a lot of cases here. So you drafted Malik Willis. We know he's not ready. They know he's not ready. There are worse options than having him sit behind a guy like Ryan Tannehill for another year. I don't see where they have a choice. They've got other issues to worry about outside of the quarterback position. I'd more worry about those positions. If Tannehill can come back and it makes sense and you get another year under Malik Willis's belt, I'm okay with that for Tennessee.
How about this one, Joe? Let's talk about the Seattle Seahawks here coming up, because quarterback is always of interest for us. Why? Russell Wilson was traded last year. Pete Carroll stood at the same podium. You got to be kidding me. You trading Russell Wilson? Are you nuts? He's a Hall of Famer. Russell Wilson did not play for Seattle last year. He played for the Denver Broncos. Now Seattle going, boy, we love Geno Smith. We're going to make him our franchise guy. And oh, by the way, we might draft top 10 quarterback this year. Oh, the smoke is rising here, Joe.
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, he certainly played his way to deserving an extension, right? And he's played, you know, great teammate. He's been there. He had his opportunity. He delivered better than anybody thought he could deliver. So now the trick is, as an organization, hey, 2-3 years down the road, is Geno Smith still the answer? Probably not. But, you know, you're always drafting for the future, right? So everything that they do now better be about giving Geno Smith enough weapons and an opportunity to be able to take that next step. And, oh, yeah, by the way, if that includes getting a quarterback to replace him, then you do what you got to do. It's best for the team.
Yeah, Geno not 24. He's in his 30s, so a little bit different on extending him. We'll talk more NFL and college basketball next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A few more news and notes here from the combine before we flip it over to college basketball. Got a nice card tonight, and also preview, or should I say recap, what actually happened last night. But the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, we already know, Joe Ranieri, the future is sort of up in the air, to say the least. They can say all they want, we love Kyle Trask, and he's the quarterback of the future. But that just means Tom Brady has retired and a massive cap hit is coming. And they're telling you, what do you want us to do? Which also means more cap hits, more cuts, and more trades on the horizon. And it looks like playoff Leonard Fournette here, who has been a mainstay for the Buccaneers the past couple years and a mainstay in the playoffs, getting that name Playoff Lenny, looks like he's going to be a cap casualty as much more change is expected here for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Joe.
Well, he didn't do himself any favors, and he made it seem like it was his request to be released here. But let us not forget, I mean, he showed up in the offseason, right? Overweight. He was slow. Like, his whole offseason, OTAs, mini, he was terrible. And he was also, his numbers showed it. He was slower. Was not lean, mean at all. So, yeah, it was just a matter of time before his time came back. Now, having said that, there are certainly some teams that could use somebody with an experience back like Fournette, but he's 28 years old. So what's he got? How many more years does he have left? He keeps showing up overweight. I don't know. He's going to be lucky to sign on with somebody here, but we'll see. He's also got to remain healthy. But I do think he's got some options here coming up.
Going for the Jerome Bettis look here in the future for Leonard Fournette. Interesting way to let that play out. We'll see where he does land, but also take a look at Marcus Mariota. No surprise that he was cut from the Atlanta Falcons. He'll latch on somewhere as a quality backup. But my question to you, Joe Ranieri, is Desmond Ridder now the future of the Atlanta Falcons, or do they have eyes on a prize for one of these free agents, or maybe make a move to trade for a quarterback here for the Falcons?
Well, they're going to have to figure something out. They certainly have the ability to be able to go in a couple of different directions. But Obviously, Mariota served his purpose, right? They were able to get him in there. They were able to get Ritter. Now, what happens is they're going to give Ritter, I believe, every opportunity in the world to prove that he is the guy there. We shall see if that works out. But they do have, I think, some options here, one way or the other, coming up that they can do pretty much. They can go out and get another guy if they want. But I don't know that they're not sold on Ritter here yet. So he certainly have the right head coach in order to give himself an opportunity to be able to find out rather quickly. I think if he believes in him, then I believe they're going to give him every opportunity, at least 1 year, to prove that he's not the guy.
Yeah, there we go. Desmond Ritter's going to get a chance there. Certainly he proved that he was the guy in Cincinnati. He's not one of those guys who say, hey, he's not big enough for the moment, or he doesn't take his job seriously. The guy comes in with some cachet. We'll see if it plays out here. Quickly on the combine here, the movers and the shakers, always my favorite. At FanDuel Sportsbook, you can bet on who's going to be the number one overall pick in this upcoming draft. Now, Bryce Young slipping a little bit, Joe Ranieri, down to minus 165. Why? CJ Stroud at a plus 350, and surging up the board is Anthony Richardson at an 8-1 price. Here, let me ask you this, Joe. If Anthony Richardson runs fast in a straight line in shorts and a t-shirt, should he just be taken number one overall because he's really fast?
Yeah, no. That is the biggest smokescreen that we see. We see one every year, Donnie, and the idea that a dude who couldn't hit water if he fell out of a boat with his arm there is somehow another going to be the number one. No, absolutely. He's a work in progress. He's middle of the road in the draft. Nobody, and I mean absolutely nobody, is going to pass Stroud or Bryce Young in the quarterback spot here. Listen, Will Levis is probably going to get drafted before Anthony Richardson. So, and, you know, he will not be franchise changing anytime soon. So I think Bryce Young is the easy answer there. Maybe Stroud, but I think it's one of those two guys because – it ain't going to be, you know, it ain't going to be the Bears picking number one, guys. So the question is, which team comes up and gets their guy? I think that guy's going to be Bryce Young one way or the other.
So there you go. It's official. Joe Ranieri is not the guy behind the scenes betting maxes at the FanDuel Sportsbook on Richardson being taken number one overall. We finally figured that out here. How about college basketball? As we told you to start the show, it's March. What does that mean? It's March Madness. A lot of things going down. Mm-hmm. Let's recap, Joe, on what happened on the hard court last night. And how about this? Kansas, congratulations, hanging another banner in outright maybe, but at least clinching a shared portion of the Big 12 championship, regardless of what happens in their final game against Texas, 67-63 over Texas Tech, 30-21, very slow-moving first half, hung on for the victory. Kansas, one of those teams that are going to be a major player in March Madness, but at least clinching a share of the Big 12 title last night.
Nothing not to be impressed with there last night. I mean, Texas Tech gave them all they could handle, but in typical Kansas fashion, they were too much in the end in the second half and were able to win this game. But give Tech credit. They battled, and Kansas is now, I think, ready to defend here. They have played some of their best basketball down the stretch. There are a lot of teams that would have lost that game against Tech last night with how they kept coming after them. But very calm, very cool, collected, Fog Allen. Voila, another win for Kansas. They're going to be a one seed, and they are going to make a run to defend their championship here, Donnie. Make no mistake about it.
13-4 now in the Big 12, one game left to go, and certainly they can win an outright conference championship by winning their last game against Texas, or does Texas falter before they even play, and it doesn't matter what happens in that last game. We'll find out next year. How about this, Marquette, you want to play your best basketball at the end of the season? You want to get hot? Shaka Smart's doing that here. 72-56, Marquette over Butler, wiped the floor with them, 10-1 in their last 11 games, coming in hot into the Big East tournament.
Yeah, I mean, it's an intriguing spot, that Big East over there. But Marquette, certainly a worthy winner there. And, you know, UConn, Xavier's playing tonight. Villanova, this is going to be, I think, by far the most intriguing Big East tournament coming up in a long, long time here. Because the argument could be made that maybe the team playing the best right now, the team nobody wants to play, isn't Marquette. it's Villanova. So it's going to be extremely interesting to see how this Big East tournament plays out here. But they got some teams in there that can do some damage in the tournament for sure there, Donnie.
Yeah, let's see what happens. And again, some teams are going to get hot. And as Joe said, playing your best basketball now is more important than, oh, man, we were awesome in December on that aircraft carrier yep. game against a team in the top 10 that's not even ranked anymore. Play well at the end of the season. You can ride that streak out. Defense also, as we like to say, travels in the tournament. Why am I bringing that up? SEC action last night. Top 15 team Tennessee 75, Arkansas 57. Arkansas likes to get up and down the court. You can't do that because I thought the game would be played a Tennessee style, and it was an easy victory for Tennessee at home on Rocky Top over Arkansas.
Tough spot there for Arkansas, who had just come out of that battle there on the road against Alabama. Same close, you know, lost by a bucket there. And now a couple days later, they got to go to Tennessee to take on a very motivated Tennessee Vols squad. And they were really never in this game at all. When Arkansas only scores 57 points, and you're watching Tennessee drop, and their biggest issue has been consistent offense this year, right? We know they can play defense. Well, you're dropping 75 on an Eric Musselman squad here that is a pretty good defensive team. Yikes. Good win for Tennessee. I still think Arkansas is going to be a player when it's all said and done.
Betting and the time that you bet sometimes can be the difference, Joe Ranieri, in winning and losing Amen. A wager. Virginia, they love it, man. 64-57 victors over Clemson. Perfect bounce back. But the FanDuel Sportsbook closed that number at 7.5. Congratulations. If you're out there on Clemson, oh my goodness, that's terrible if you were on Virginia. But Virginia needed this one to bounce back before heading into ACC play here.
Yeah, no, and a great start to the season for Clemson. Just a awful stretch yes. here down here. Not good for them. But they still, I mean, 20. It's funny. Clemson 21-9, Virginia 22-6. Non-conference schedules like night and day. That does matter. But ultimately, Virginia at home, kind of never in doubt. I mean, they were ahead at the break, and ultimately they won the second half and win it. But like you said, timing is everything here. 6.5 is a much better number than 7.5. That's for sure, Donnie.
Big Ten basketball here. I thought Indiana was going to be game last night. Well, it was basically game over. 90-68 as Iowa comes in and pummels Indiana. And Jackson Davis had 26-13-4, and it didn't matter at all. Iowa, we know, can score with the best of them. Do we trust that in tournament time? Typically not. But on an any game stretch, we say, hey, Iowa's going to be in it. Well, what's that final score? I don't know. They got 90-plus points. It happened last night as they smoked Indiana on the road.
Yeah, and let's, you know, they learned their lesson from the first go-around, too, where they allowed Indiana to come back and beat them in the first go here. I think, or vice versa, rather, they didn't want to allow Indiana to be able to come back in this one, which is why they dropped not only 47 in the first half, they dropped 43 in the second. That might be the most complete game we've seen from Iowa this year. Is that a sign of things to come? Well, they also held Indiana at home to under 70 points. That, to me, was even more impressive than how many points they scored.
Equally impressive late night action. Boise State 66, San Diego State 68, 14-0 run to close that out for Boise State on their home court. Who says ranked opponents can win on the road? Not me. It doesn't feel like it here. Nope. We'll be right back to talk about hard court action tonight. Come on back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Top 25 action here in college basketball on a Wednesday night. Let's keep in mind, next week, the Power Fives start up there with their conference tournament. So teams, Joe Ranieri, will be jockeying for position throughout the rest of the regular season, which will wrap up this week. None bigger than Xavier and Providence in the Big East, who I know you're already talking about. Watch out for some of these teams coming out of the Big East. The one thing that we do know is if Providence could play every single game on their home court, they probably would cut down the nets. Why? They don't lose at home. Perfect. So they're going to put that on the line tonight at the Amica Mutual Pavilion should be still affectionately known as the Dunk, but it is not. Xavier comes to town versus Providence tonight. Both of these teams, if I'm looking at the stats here, 13-5, 13-5. So the winner here is going to get a leg up and better seeding in the Big East tournament here. What gives tonight on that pressure that Xavier puts on your defense with the up-tempo versus Ed Cooley going, yeah, good luck beating us at home?
Yeah, I believe Xavier is really the only team left that could make a run for Marquette, right, for the regular season title and a number one seed. But they got to win tonight. They got to win on the road against a Providence team, I believe, who is, what, 15-0 at home this season? There was only a handful of undefeated teams at home this year in college basketball. We saw Duke last night. We talked about that. Mm-hmm. UCLA is another one. Alabama. And, well, we'll see if it's going to be Providence. Can they run the tables here? They do have a 17-game home winning streak on mm-hmm. the line in this one as well, dating back to last season. So, hey, Ed Cooley and company would love to finish off this season on a high note. Providence is a favorite in this spot here, too, laying, what, 3, 3.5 against Xavier. Yep. This is going to be a battle, and I think one that Providence is in all likelihood going to win this game, but I think here it is. If Providence wins, it's going to be a last-second shot, final possession kind of thing. I think if Xavier wins, they're going to win going away in this one, so that's your two choices here. I don't think Xavier wins in a close one. I think only Providence will. I think if Xavier wins, they're going to win rather easily in this game and beat Providence. So should be a fun one there with a total of up and over 153 at this point.
Yeah, it looks like FanDuel now ringing in a 154.5. So you've like player props, your points props. Looks like this is going to be one of those games to go. And also, again, two really good basketball teams that both need this game. Should be a great environment up there in Providence tonight. Let's go down south here. Alabama and Auburn, the Iron Bowl, not on the football field, but on the basketball court. If we line this one up, Alabama, Joe, heavy favorite in this one, -9.5, and a nice total as well, 151.5. We know how fast Alabama does like to go. Auburn not really coming in here hot, to say the least. I believe it's losers of their past 5 of 7 games. But my question to you is this one, Alabama. Squeaking by their past couple games here, we know there's a lot of rumors swirling around that program. So I want to ask you almost like a two-part question. Tonight's action, is it a wake-up call for Alabama, or do they stay on that pace like, hey, just getting wins is enough? And also, looking forward to Alabama in the SEC Conference Tournament and beyond that into March Madness, is this a team you're buying on, or is this one saying, like, boy, they're really good, but just too many things swirling around off the court for me to bank on them to actually win a national championship?
You know, I thought that, and then every time that starts to creep in and we continue to hear a different story, and Nate Oates has mm-hmm. got to apologize for something he said or some sort of pregame ritual or say, you know, mm-hmm. it's he's doing an amazing job. I think we would have seen a slip up by this point already. And the fact that we haven't tells me that Alabama is extremely resilient, and that makes them extremely dangerous. Now, they're going to beat Auburn here tonight. Make no mistake about it. Auburn is just hot, hot garbage here. They're going the wrong way. Bruce Pearl, they just can't get these kids on the same page. They don't have any consistent shooters. They certainly don't have a Brandon Miller on their team that can absolutely take it over. But Alabama at home, they're going to win. The question is, are they going to win on Saturday in that final game against who else? Texas A&M. Because the Aggies already beat Alabama. If Aggies win again, then guess what happens here? Texas A&M is your new number one seed in the SEC, and it ain't Alabama. So this isn't the more important game. I don't think they'll ever look past Auburn. They just beat them a couple of weeks ago in Auburn rather easily. I think they're going to beat them rather easily again tonight, but it's going to be a huge game coming up there with Buzz and the Aggies this weekend against Alabama to close out the regular season with the winner-take-all mentality here. Kind of hard to argue with the success Alabama has already had with all the noise surrounding them here.
Yeah, it's one of those things where you take a look at, like, the Duke Blue Devils, right? Say, hey, look, they won last night, but maybe not getting the cover. Why? Because they're looking towards North Carolina. Same thing you could probably take a look at Alabama. Maybe the bigger prize is on the horizon. They just need to slip by this one to get to the next level here. Let's take a look at two programs in the ACC. Obviously coming in pretty hot here come SEC tournament action. That's Vanderbilt and Kentucky. Now, Kentucky is favored by 9.5 here, and it looks like it's one of those teams for Kentucky again where you get to March Madness and you go, Joe, how did they wind up on a 6, 7, 8, or a 9 line here? This team should have been one of those teams that we thought of as a top 5 team to enter the season. It looks like they might be rounding into at least a decent form. Do we look at this game going, it's way too much points for Kentucky, or this is with Kentucky at home, they should handle their business against Vanderbilt?
Well, there was a point in Kentucky history where you'd be like, Rupp Arena? Yeah, no, give me Kentucky. I don't care if they're laying 3 touchdowns, 4 touchdowns. It don't make a damn bit of difference. That has not been the case this year. They've been vulnerable at home here. Having said that, we've all been waiting for Kentucky to put it together, Calipari to get these kids to play Kentucky basketball. And guess what? Better late than never, right? They finally have begun to do that. Oscar Tshiebwe has been an absolute beast during this 5-game winning streak. He is showing you why maybe the best player in college basketball, player of the year last year, comes back to Kentucky. How many times have we seen that? My goodness. But he is he's a kid that he is capable of taking games over and riding you through a tournament. And all of a sudden, while everyone has already written off Kentucky, they find themselves back in the top 25. And with an ability here to go into an SEC tournament, run the table, and then still look, I think, at a number 3, 4, or 5 seed when it's all said and done. They are a dangerous team right now. They will not look past Vanderbilt at home. I think they crush them, and they continue to roll into the SEC tournament.
I like where you're going here, looking past opponents, because sure, every team wants to win every game they play, but when we take a look at late December, early January, early February, the stakes do change. And the game we're going to bring up here in the ACC, it's Pittsburgh and Notre Dame, which in the past couple years, Pittsburgh and Notre Dame, what are they even playing for at this point, right? Well, Pittsburgh has a lot to play for, regular season ACC action. They want to take home a championship. They want to hang the banner in the arena. In order to do that, they have to beat Notre Dame, and then they have that big game on the horizon at Miami, which is where all the eyes are going to be. The FanDuel Sportsbook lined this game up at -4.5 as a favorite towards Pittsburgh. This is now down to 3.5. Is this a game where they look past, or do you expect a focused, concerted effort here from the Panthers just to make sure they make it to play Miami this weekend?
Yeah, so here we got one of those situations. The first time since 2016, I believe it was, in which Pitt is now in the top 25 of the country with an opportunity, as you said. Hey, I mean, they have an opportunity not only to end up handling business and taking down the ACC. I mean, Miami and Virginia are a half a game behind them, and you had said it, right? Pitt plays Miami next week. They can win. If they win here and in Miami, they're going to be able to take down their first big conference crown, but they used to be in the Big East, don't forget, right? And that's how far you got to go back in order Danny to see Dixon the last time Pitt had this kind of year. I mean, call me crazy here, but Notre Dame at home been playing real tough lately in what is going to be, what, Bree's last year since he said he was planning on stepping down at the end of the season. I would not anticipate Notre Dame going quietly. Pitt's going to have to earn this one, and if they're looking past to get to Miami, that might be the biggest mistake Pitt has made all year long here. I do think Notre Dame is a live dog here tonight.
You know, I just checked into that, too, because I love the point you brought up here. Like, Bray has been there for a really long time. Look at their schedule, Joe. 2 games left. This is their last home game, so it's going to be some emotion in the building for Notre Dame tonight. Let's see if the team can play along with that here. We'll keep it moving. Texas and TCU in the Big 12. We talked about it ad nauseum already. Kansas, we think, is probably the best team in the Big 12. Kansas has already clinched at least a share of the Big 12 championship. Now, you do have a Texas-Kansas game on the horizon, but TCU plays them tonight. Texas is on the road. TCU is a favorite now, -2.5 points at the FanDuel Sportsbook right now. And I do believe the way the Big 12 has gone this year, I don't think Texas and Kansas is going to matter. Why? I think TCU gets the upset tonight against Texas, Joe. What are you looking at tonight in this game, TCU-Texas?
Well, I mean, listen, they have Mike Miles Jr. back, right? The leader of this team, TCU, they needed him. He's gotten back now. He's got a couple of games back under his belt. They have been phenomenal. And listen, this game means a lot more here to TCU than it does Texas. And I'll tell you why, because if they beat Texas here tonight, then that means they won't have to play on the first day of the Big 12 conference tournament. It would also give them a one-game lead on Iowa State, who is fifth right now in the Big 12 standing. So that's important because Iowa State already beat them and owes the tiebreaker. They swept the season series against TCU. So this is a monster game for TCU if they are planning on making a run here, certainly in the Big 12 tournament. And they're going to have an opportunity to do it here. And I think TCU at home, this is a tough spot here for Texas, having, back-to-back games in which they may not be winning here. They still are the number 9 team in the country, by the way. But this is a game TCU wants to have, needs to have, and ultimately I think will get it done. It also feels like there's going to be a million points in this game here, Donnie. I think the 149.5 that it opened at, way too low. I think this game is going to be one of the more fun ones to watch here tonight.
We don't question how good the Big 12 is. We just question, can the Big 12 win in March Madness? Because they beat each other up all season long. And how much energy do you have left over? Now, Nick Saban, we're going to talk about here. Yeah, Donnie, why are you bringing up Nick Saban? It's clear he must coach Gonzaga because Gonzaga is taking on Chicago State tonight as 27.5-point favorites to end their season before they go into West Coast Conference tournament play. Where did the schedule come from? How did it wind up here? Chicago State hasn't even played since February 19th, Joe. Talk to me. Chicago State, Gonzaga.
Senior night. They're all going to, they're going to drop the banner for Drew Timmy. You don't want anything to do here. Chicago State is basically been served up on a platter here. So the Gonzaga can finish it out and get Timmy's only lost one home game in his career. Think about that. Fantastic stuff there. They're going to win by a lot here tonight there, Donnie.
Fantastic stuff as well from Joe Lanieri today. If you liked what you saw, he'll be here Thursday, he'll be here Friday, and he'll be here Monday. Buckle up. It's March. We're ready to get after it. One segment left.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, last segment of the day here for a Wednesday edition of The Early Line right on the Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM Channel 159. Today was Joe Ranieri and Donnie Wright, signed 7 and 9 a.m. powering through to set the table for the rest of your Sports Grid day, which includes the morning after coming up next. So make sure you stay tuned. And also, Joe will be with us on The Early Line for Thursday, Friday, and Monday's edition. We're going to get you ready for all the college basketball and NBA action that you are going to need. A lot of great topics today. Who needs what games in college basketball? Can the Lakers survive without LeBron James? A back-to-back game against OKC tonight. And also, some hot combine news. Pretty soon, the players will take the field. We'll be able to see how fast they run, how high they jump, and realize how meaningless it really is. But let's talk some Major League Baseball today, because there were no umpires for the ninth inning, or should I say the bottom of the ninth inning, in a spring training game yesterday. Listen up. The Pirates and the Orioles with a no-ump ninth. Well, at least the bottom of the ninth here. And so many times in spring training, it's used to actually work on things from a team perspective. Sometimes pitchers go into a game and only use their fastball because they want to locate it. Sometimes hitters are only going to swing at fastballs or curveballs to try to work on timing. But it looked like yesterday, the Orioles wanted to get some extra work here for right-hander Ofrede Gomez. Both of the teams came together. The managers talked to each other and said, you know what? Let's play the bottom of the ninth inning here. here. Well, of course, the umpires were not on board. This game is over. We will not help you out. Let's leave the field. So what did the two teams do? Came out on the field and said, that's fine. No umpires needed here. The catcher called the strikes here. And voila, nobody complained and they got off the field. Now, granted, that's not going to happen anytime soon where professional baseball doesn't have any umpires whatsoever. But it just goes to show you here. The umpires, where were they going? To the bar in South Florida? What was the deal here, actually, why the umpires couldn't help the Major League Baseball teams out and finish a half inning to get some extra work in? Just goes to show the umpires union is always just about the umpires union here. Robo-umps! Can't get them fast enough. Stay tuned now for the Morning After with Ben Stevens coming up next, right here on The Grid.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.